And let me touch base with, we're going to be talking to three different guests, but for just the moment, let me talk with Michael Weber, who's the artistic director over at Porchlight Theater, Porchlight Music Theater. Michael, thanks for being with me.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I'm sorry we've had this sort of breaking news that we're monitoring. We'll be talking to you and Looking Glass Theater and also the Auditorium Theater, but because we could get interrupted any second, I just thought I would touch base. You can set the way for us because you and I have talked before. How has this pandemic, the situation the governor is going to deal with in a moment, how has this been impacting theater? It looks like you guys were the first to have to shut down, and as far as I can tell, the last to be able to open.
Yeah, you may be very correct about that, Paul. Theater is essentially it's a live action. To be able to do what we do, we call live people to gather into a room together and experience something. And that's sort of the antithesis of anything that any of us should be doing these days. So theaters pretty much around the city and across the country have really been trying to figure out how to pivot during this time and figure out a way to connect with our audiences and our supporters to be able to present productions virtually. So a lot of that may involve creating new product. In some cases, theaters are presenting archival footage of wonderful shows that they've done in the past that gives us a great opportunity to see performances again, maybe that we loved in the past, as well as trying to just figure out different ways to have conversations with our audiences, whether those Zoom calls or round tables or all different kinds of things that we're doing.
And you know what? Since I have a moment, I'm going to also bring in Rich Regan. We'll bring in Phil Smith as well. With apologies to all of you guys for knowing that at a moment's notice, we're going to go to the governor. But Rich, as we're hearing Porchlight Music Theater talk, and Phil will chime in with Looking Glass, when we come to the auditorium, it's a very different venue, right? These other theaters hold X hundreds of people. When we visit the auditorium, we're in a very different world.
True, Paul. Thank you for having me. We're a 3,900 seat theater, and we're a presenting house for the most part. We do produce a few of our productions on our stage, but for the most part, we buy productions. So being closed since March 12th, when the state and city order came down, banning the large gatherings has been really challenging for all of us here.
I remember, actually, I think the program that shut it down, it was America's Got Talent magician Shin Lim. He was supposed to be there. We had him on WGN TV in the morning. I was looking forward to go talk to him. I'd even interviewed him for that, and boom, that show was one of the first to cancel. Phil Smith for Looking Glass, smaller venue than the auditorium, but it's impacting you as well, right? Because, I mean, ticket sales are just part of the revenue, but how has donations been? Are people hanging with you during this tough time when many of them are unemployed? Philip, that question was to you. Philip Smith of Looking Glass Theater.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now. Okay, sure.
Okay, sorry. Thanks so much for having this conversation.
Yeah,
like all of us, I think we all have gone through a process of denial and shock and at the collapse that we witnessed in slow motion and anxiety and more denial and mourning and processing and regrouping and reprocessing and looking forward and focusing on trying to rebuild better. We're all in that same psychic moment together, and theaters have been hit certainly hard by this experience, and a small theater like Looking Glass, we're a mid-sized theater, really, but we're no different from the larger and the smaller. We're all in the same boat together. I remember having a sensation that, especially in March and April, that like theater has stopped around the world, and it's almost the first time since the Greeks were producing plays that has happened. And it was a chilling moment of realization that, oh my gosh, there has been this sort of kinesthetic moment of theater and how important theater is to building community and connection, all of a sudden stopped on the globe for the first time since the Greeks. It was really an intense moment.
One day I can see it being a play that one of the Looking Glass Ensemble actually writes and deals with this, but that's going to be down the line. Gentlemen, stick with me. We're going to continue our discussion about the arts, but I want to take a break so that we can listen to the governor and then continue this conversation with limited interruption. So hang with me right now. We're listening to 720 WGN. And we are back on the Anna DeBlantis Show, WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick sitting in. We are waiting for Governor Pritzker. Apparently, we understand they're having signal issues, so that's the problem. problem, and that's why he's delayed. But we're going to continue our conversation with these experts on the arts. And so, guys, we're going to talk until we get interrupted, but then don't go anywhere because we're going to pick it up after the governor as well to make sure we have a thorough discussion. Porchlight Theater Artistic Director Michael Weber, Looking Glass Theater Ensemble Member and Artistic Producer Philip Smith, and Auditorium Theater CEO Rich Regan. Michael of Porchlight, let me come back to you for a moment because you, for me, have been just a – talk about one entity that has, if you will, mastered the ability of online programming. You offer so many things that are free for people, and I imagine underneath it is the hope that maybe they'll donate.
We do hope. And, you know, this is something that we didn't have any background in. So we're literally learning on the fly in terms of how to create virtual programming. And our first interest was, yes, definitely to make a lot of stuff for free so that people could connect with us and we could stay connected with people who enjoy coming to Porchlight Music Theater and also enjoy musicals and music theater in general. So we have been putting together a large array of different offerings. Some of it is conversational, some of it is more dramaturgical, so you can learn about the art form, learn about the history of music theater in America, and other things are a little bit more entertainment-oriented, where you can hear show tunes and great music from the great musicals. Some of it is literally connecting with our audiences directly. We have a program called Porchlight by Request, where audiences can literally request a song from their favorite musical. We'll put you together with one of the top music theater performers in Chicago, and they will give you a command performance of that song. People who are essential workers who have been reaching out to us, teachers, nurses, firemen, people like this, who just want to, you know, hear a show tune, a little bit of normality, as something that just brings us a little bit of warmth to their heart and to their life. And so we're able to connect a person with an artist in that way, and that's something that's been really exciting for us.
Yeah, I took advantage of that and put a couple of songs together requesting a duet I thought you guys could never do, and sure enough, you did it. So that was amazing. And Philip Smith, you guys, you actually have sort of a new virtual season. You're learning to sort of make the season happen online.
Yeah, please don't make me sing, because that would be not an unfortunate moment for all of us. But we have to stay connected, and we have to create a bridge to a moment when this is in our rearview mirror. And every theater in town, every theater across the country and the world really has tried to come up with ways of staying connected and to create that bridge. And many have thought of membership programs. We have a new membership program called The Hidden Door, which launches this Friday. It's part of actually a membership program. It's called The Secret Passage, and The Hidden Door is conversations with some of our really fabulous and remarkable storytellers and theater makers. And that launches this Friday. And with the membership, too, we're going to open the vaults of our storied history and share some of its treasure. Old radio plays from our very early days, behind the curtain video, and stories about the genesis of some of our most prized works, as well as access to readings and explorations of upcoming works will all be a part of it. And all this for $50 for the whole year, which really helps pay for the programming, but also helps to build a bridge from this moment to when we can be in a room together again, which is the most important thing.
Absolutely. And by the way, the Looking Glass Theater is located in the historic water tower. If you've never been there, it's the old pumping station, and you've turned it into a theater, and that's a conversation for a whole other day, which is, it's just an amazing place to visit. Rich Regan, over at the auditorium, speaking of history, you guys are in a historical building, Adler and Sullivan, and the good news is you've been able to start giving the tours again.
That's right, Paul. I appreciate you mentioning that. We actually started in-person tours just last week, and we're doing them in very small groups with all the safety protocols and measures in place, just $15 a person, but a max group of six, and everybody's temperature checked before they come in, and it's about an hour tour, and actually they've been really popular. To accompany that, for those who are maybe afar and can't get to the theater, we also launched a virtual tour that's for free on our website or on YouTube. So those have really been popular of late, and we're glad we're able to show people our 130-year-old historic landmark.
I have to say, for me, I've walked in that building sometimes with artists who are going to perform there, and when you walk in and you walk into the auditorium, whatever, it is just a stunning thing. I have a feeling Philip and Michael would agree. To walk into the auditorium theater is to walk back in history, but to walk into a venue that any performer would just love to take that stage.
It really shows the genius of Louis Sullivan and Dagmar Adler 130 years ago. The design that they put together here is just something that really transcends time. And when you walk into the building, it's just something that never leaves you, Paul. And I know you can attest to that as well.
That is a special place. This is Phil from Looking Glass. I remember taking a tour of the stage. The stage is so massive that when Looking Glass had this hit called Looking Glass Alice, we were looking to move it somewhere in the city so we could install the next show that was coming in. And we looked just on the stage of the auditorium, and we were going to try to build an audience around there and create that show and environment on the auditorium stage, which was, you know, a wonderful imagining.
And what's amazing is the theater arts community in Chicago works so closely together. Gentlemen, stick with me. We're going to take a break for the news, but we're going to stay with you after the news break and continue our discussion on the arts in the pandemic. We're back on the Anna DeBlanta Show. I'm WGN-TV's Paul Lisnett, talking about art surviving in the pandemic with three great guests. I'm going to ask you a question individually. You know, I've been talking about each of your venues as though everybody knows what you do, and most people should in the city of Chicago. But Phil Smith, with Looking Glass Theater, as an ensemble member and artistic producer, you guys, I want you to describe the work Looking Glass does. I have to say, one year, many years ago, your theme of the year was Theater Without a Net. And I remember interviewing one of your founding members, David Schwimmer, that a lot of people know, and I had suggested that that actually should be the way you guys are known forever. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, and I've thought about that. We should bring that brand moniker back, because it really is a great avenue into the experience of falling into the Looking Glass. And that's what we were inspired by, that story of Alice and her journey in Wonderland, not in a childish way, but in a way that that is never the same. That the experience of going to a Looking Glass play is never the same, and we sort of make that proof positive by changing around the theater, the actual environment of the theater most every time that we produce, so that when you go through the doors of the Looking Glass, it's like going through a portal or falling down the rabbit hole into a new and different environment. We have an ensemble of near 30 artists, and many of them are generators and directors and writers. And so we produce primarily work from within the company. And we grew up during the MTV age, and we wanted to make theater interesting and accessible and exciting for people that were being pulled to screens. Little did we know what would be coming down the pike.
Yeah, every time I walk in, I never know if I'm walking into what's being set up as a freezer room or a baseball field, or it's just amazing. Michael Weber, for me, Porchlight Music Theater is, if you're looking for great musicals, that's where you want to go.
Well, thanks for that description. I think, you know, something else that makes Porchlight unique in terms of a music theater experience is that it is a very intimate environment. We work out of the DuPage Center for the Arts, actually right around the corner from our friends at Looking Glass. We're on Dearborn Street, but it's a very intimate environment. It's only 218 seats. So for people who enjoy musicals but have maybe only experienced them either, you know, on the Broadway stage or in a national tour of a big Broadway show in a 3,000-seat environment, you get a very different encounter with the musical at Porchlight, because we're only 218 seats. So you suddenly have a very close proximity to the actors and the musicians, and maybe seeing a production of a show that maybe you've seen many times and you think you know really well. You know, I think of like some of the great musicals like Gypsy or A Chorus Line, shows like that. But when you experience them at Porchlight in an intimate fashion, you suddenly begin to tune your hearing in a very different way. You hear things and you notice things that you maybe have never noticed from the first way that you first encountered that production. So we hear from many people who see our work at Porchlight say, I never really, I feel like I've experienced the show anew. And in a very different way, and that's very gratifying to us.
And I often say every time I see you after a show, I always say, I didn't think you could top yourself, and then you do Chorus Line, and you top yourself once again, or Billy Elliot, or whatever it may be. Oh. Rich Regan, at the auditorium, of course, anything goes there. We can see almost anything from Broadway shows, whatever, but I think, is it fair to say that when people are thinking of the auditorium theater, to think of you as the home, or one of the homes, for dance in the city of Chicago seems fairly fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say. You know, we have a history, actually a very long history that has many different chapters in it. But the most recent chapter is that we're the theater for the people, which to me is that we present all types of art forms, primarily dance, but we also do speaker series with our National Geographic series. And we do concerts as well as theatricals, like you mentioned. You know, we're the home of the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, which is one of the preeminent dance companies out there right now. But we're also the home of Ensemble Español in the city of Chicago, and with a near annual visit from them. So we do really a great variety of programming, which also allows us to have probably the most diverse audience of any theater our size in Chicago.
I've gotten to know so many of the team members at each of your locations and locales because you don't do what you do alone. You rely very much so on an amazing group of people who are with you. And so, Michael, at Porchlight, the point of people donating and supporting things online is so you can keep those people that make the magic happen and the lights on, keep them with you.
Absolutely. At this point, our relationships are only strengthening with our audiences and our supporters. It's also important, I think, to also realize that for the arts in Chicago and certainly around the country, the relationship between the arts and other businesses in our communities, how the arts are really a catalyst to helping support restaurants and valet parkers, and if you're going to go to a movie that you stopped in and got a Starbucks, or that you stopped in and got something at the drugstore, some candy or something like that. When the arts are not functioning as we are, when we're shut down, it has a wide negative effect on the entire community of what makes up why people go out at night. They generally want to go see a movie and a show. I mean, a dinner and a show. So, you know, there's a cascading effect to our not being present in the community that's affecting our economy in a negative way. So the support that we're being provided now from donations is really keeping up alive a much larger ecosystem than just the theaters themselves.
And people should check you out at porchlightmusictheater.org, spelled the proper way, theater, T-R-E at the end. And Phil Smith, let me come to you for Looking Glass. Again, keeping the staff together, even a smaller intimate theater, you still have people it takes to run the place, and you need people's support.
That's true. And, the lights are off in our theater right now. It's very strange walking through. It's kind of haunting. It's like a pandemic happened.
Yeah, I wanted to think.
But we have something coming up, which is a really lucky offering for us. Mary Zimmerman's Steadfast Tin Soldier that we produced during the holidays the last two seasons. We'll have a digital stream available soon with a run during the month of December. And this allows us, to share this really moving and funny, rich story with an audience as wide as the world's reach.
It is amazing. And the website, give the website so people can check you out.
It's lookingglasstheater.org, and those tickets at an accessible price will be available next month.
Thank you. Rich Regan, website for the auditorium.
We are auditoriumtheater.org, and that's spelled R-E, the proper way.
Let's all move to England. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I wish you all well. Let's get through this pandemic together. I look forward to continuing my support of all the work you do. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Support the arts. All right.